In the gospel reading today, we hear about Simeon telling our Blessed Lady at the time that they brought Jesus to the temple, he was just 8 days old, that a sword would pierce our Blessed Lady's heart. And we have to understand a couple of parts with that. First of all, this is not the normal word that is used for sword. Every other time that a sword is mentioned in the New Testament, with one exception, it's a different word. And so this is not your average word in Greek for a sword. In a specific way, it has to do with a sword of sorrow. When in the other time that it is used in the New Testament, it is used in reference to the sword of our Lord's mouth. That is how he is going to cut through the things with his words. But in this case, a sword of sorrow that would pierce our Blessed Lady's heart. So obviously, we all know she wasn't literally pierced with a physical sword through her heart, but the sorrow standing at the foot of the cross of our Blessed Lord and the sorrow that she endured in that. And as we heard at the beginning of the Mass, the oration, that the Church would also share in that sorrow. The tragedy, well, it's not the tragedy, it's the great blessing for the Church. But it is going to be a continuation of our Blessed Lady's sorrow, is that the Church will have to be crucified. And that's, I believe, where we're at. Not quite to the crucifixion part yet, but things are heating up. And so we need to be prepared. And we need to make sure that we are recognizing the great dignity of being able to share in the sorrow of our Lord, to be able to have our hearts also pierced as we see what's going on. There are tragically many people who are rejoicing in what they see happening because suddenly it appears that the Church has changed her teachings on a whole variety of moral things. The Church hasn't changed her teaching on anything because she can't. The truth remains the truth. And yet, all of a sudden, immorality is okay, and various doctrinal things are being challenged. And so we see that there is this movement in the Church to destroy her. And if this was coming from the average Joe on the street, yeah, whatever. This is coming from the bishops of the Catholic Church. And so the wound is going to be profound. Look in Germany again. If you want to see where insanity comes from, well, there we are. Look at the German bishops. So over the weekend, we had one German bishop once again calling for ordination of women. We had another German bishop that was saying that you can't use scripture to be able to say that sodomy is wrong, because that really, was just a cultural thing, and it, really doesn't have any pertinence for us today. So once again, we don't have to believe the Bible because it apparently is no longer infallible, and it is apparently no longer inspired by God. It's just a group of stories from way back when, and yeah, it was relevant back then, maybe, but it's not anymore. What a crock of trash. But you see what's happening as the wound is deepening and it is tearing. And sadly, there are lots and lots of people who are jumping on board because it's what they want to hear. We are made for the truth. But let's be honest. We crucified the truth. And we haven't changed. Individuals certainly have, but society has not. We continue to crucify the truth. So we have to really look seriously at what is going on, what we're doing within the Church as we continue to put a sword of sorrow through Our Lady's heart. can't just look what happened on Saturday night. They had a concert in St. Peter's Square. Really, we're changing the church into a rock stage. And this is getting really pathetic. But remember a few years ago when they decided that they were going to put up pictures of all of the different extinct animals or whatever on the front of St. Peter's Basilica. And this is the stuff that's going on. I mentioned the other day in a homily, we are at the point where we are more concerned in the church about saving the earth. Not saving the world, saving the earth. And we have to make sure that we're really concerned about the dirt rather than about the people who were made from the dirt. And the biggest thing that is, I mean, the sin of today is adding carbon to our atmosphere because it might make the temperature change. Funny thing that the plants kind of need the carbon in order to live, in order to change it into oxygen, but we don't want to talk about that. We've got everything upside down and backwards right now. So our Blessed Lady stood at the foot of the cross, offering her suffering for us. And what are we doing with it? We crucified Jesus Christ because he was inconvenient to us. What are we going to do to his church? It is inconvenient to us. So we want it gone. It's not going to go. But it is going to be torn down because it must. The church must be crucified. It is not an option. The church is the mystical person of Jesus Christ. The church has to go through the passion of the Lord. That is a necessity. It is also a privilege. When we think about the crucifixion of our blessed Lord, as we look at St. Mary Magdalene and St. John, our Blessed Lady standing at the foot of the cross, we look at them and say, this is heroic. These are the examples. And what a privilege to be there. Well, guess what? That's where you are. Or at least that's where you have an opportunity to be. Now the question is, where do you want to be? You have the option. You can be right there with our Blessed Lady. You could be with those holy women who are off to the side a little bit, beating their breasts and so on. Or you can be with the apostles who ran away and locked themselves up in a room because they were afraid. Or you can be among those who were jeering him and putting the nails into his hands and his feet. There isn't going to be anyone in this that will be neutral. None. I keep pointing out to you, and it should be becoming more and more obvious by the day, the dichotomy is getting clearer and clearer. The gray area is getting less and less. Every single person on the face of this earth will need to make a decision for or against Jesus Christ. Period. There will be no in-between. There will be no neutral answer in this one. It is Jesus or it is Satan. And if it's not Jesus, no matter what answer anyone wants to give, it's Satan. So the battle is on. The lines are being drawn, and each one of us has to make a choice. And as I keep saying, it needs to be a radical choice. It can't just be, well, yeah, I guess if it's one or the other, I'd rather be with Jesus. It's like, no, you need to stand up and you need to be counted. Our Blessed Lady stood at the foot of that cross, knowing that that could have cost her her life. The Roman soldiers might not have tolerated that. But there she was. She was counted. We know the names of the people who were standing at the foot of the cross. We don't know the names of the people who were standing off on the side. That was just a nebulous group. But we know the names of the people who were there at the cross because they stood up and they were counted. Now it is our turn. Each one of us is going to need to make this choice. And it needs to be made over and over and over again, every day and sometimes many times a day, to be able to say yes to our Blessed Lord. But we're not alone, because as the church is crucified, Our Lady is going to be right there at the foot of the cross. And with Our Blessed Lady, there will be two other groups of people. All of us who are sinners, represented by the sinful woman who was there at the foot of the cross, forgiven of her sins, and truly in love with Jesus, willing to die with him if that's what's going to be necessary. And then there will be some priests, represented by St. John, who will be faithful to our Lord. The priests and the bishops who have been called. The vast majority, they're going to run away. They aren't going to be anywhere near. They're going to lock themselves up because they think they have to be safe. What safer place can you be than at the foot of the cross? So all of us have a choice. Stay with our Blessed Lady. Yeah, your heart's going to be pierced with a sword because it's going to be tragic to watch. And yet, to know that not only did Our Lady have experience the tragedy of what happened to her son, but she was also right there at the moment that he rose from the dead, and she experienced the glory of the resurrection. And if we are willing to be faithful, if we are willing to stand at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Lady, sinners that we are, so beg St. Mary Magdalene for the courage and the grace to be able to do this, then we are also going to have the privilege to be able to see the resurrection of the church as she will then be glorified, the bride of Christ, united with him in his glory. Ultimately, the fullness of that will be in heaven, but this is where we're headed now on earth. It is the most privileged time in the history of Christianity. So if you couldn't be there 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, it's the only time that would have been even better. This is the single greatest time to be alive as a Christian person, because this is the time when the church is going to be crucified. And God, in his mercy, has given you the privilege to be alive right now and to have faith. That faith is going to be tested. It is going to be shaken. And then we have a choice. So you have to make that choice. Not theoretically, in the heart, radically. Knowing that if you choose to stand there with our Blessed Lady, that heart in which you made that choice is going to be pierced. If you want to save yourself the pain, well, then stand afar off and watch. It's not the privileged position. The privileged position is to stand up and be counted, be one with Jesus in his suffering, be one with our Blessed Lady, united with his suffering. That pain that was caused at the cross continues in our Blessed Lady as she watches her children continually crucify her son. Maybe we have the privilege to make a little bit of reparation for what we ourselves have done and what others are doing to her, that we can be there with her to console her, to unite ourselves with her suffering, to allow our hearts also to be pierced with that sort of sorrow, to offer all of that to our Lord for the forgiveness of sins, for the conversion of sinners, and for the salvation of our souls.